Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us this week. And we're going to go back today and finish up part two of our little study of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. And today we left one very important. Last week we talked about many of the ministries He has in our life, but we left one for this week to talk about in more detail, and that is the Holy Spirit lives the Christian life in and through us. So, if you're not sure what that means, stick around. We're going to help you understand it. This is one of the most critical truths for us to understand as believers in Jesus. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds to understand this critically important truth today about you and about the Holy Spirit's ministry in our life. Illuminate our spirits that this may make perfect sense to us, and may what we study today radically alter for many of us our whole Christian experience. So we ask you to do these things in our life for the glory of Jesus, and we pray this in His name. Amen. Now, as I said a moment ago, if you missed our message last week about the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life, I urge you, go back and listen to that message. It will encourage your heart and soul in a massive way. But today, we want to talk about one specific ministry that, like I said, we left for this week, and that is how to live the Christian life. Our truth this week is that the Holy Spirit lives the Christian life through us and for us. And if you don't understand that, let's explain. Okay, let's begin with John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. Let me read it to you. We'll put it up. He says in the second half of the verse, Jesus does, "I have come that they," that is, my followers, "may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, many of us read that verse and we immediately say, well, Jesus must be talking about somebody else because He's not talking about me. My Christian life is a struggle. My Christian life knows defeat much more than it knows victory. And I end the day every day of feeling badly about how poorly I did in obeying God that day. And maybe not in the big outward things. You know, you didn't murder anybody that day. You didn't commit real adultery that day. But when it comes to real obedience to God from the inner man, that to look upon a woman is to commit adultery, that to hate your brother in your heart is murder, etc., etc., that we shall not covet, be jealous of other people, we don't do so good. None of us do. And so we think, well, I don't know, maybe this is just some ideal that Jesus wants us to aspire to, having an abundant Christian life, or other people have it and I don't. Now, folks, let me tell you, if you feel that way, it's very simple why. You are trying to live the Christian life incorrectly. And this is because so few preachers preach to their people how to live the Christian life correctly. And that's because, forgive me for the sound of this, so few preachers know how to live the Christian life effectively. So if they don't know it, they're not able to teach it. Now, I'm going to teach it to you today. And if you will listen carefully and put into practice what I'm going to teach you today, I promise you it will radically change the abundance of your Christian life. So, are we ready? All right, let's start in Romans chapter 7. New American Standard Bible, here we go. Let's start, if you will, in verse 19. "For the good that I will to do, that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not, I want not to do, that I practice." Let's skip down now to verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. but I see another law in my members, in my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my body. Let me read you the RSV, the Revised Standard Version translation, because I like that. It says, verse 22, Romans 7, we'll put it up, "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, which dwells in my members." Now, isn't this the way we all feel? As a believer in Jesus, don't we rejoice in the commands of God in our heart? And we want to do them. But there's another law, Paul says, living in my body, the law of sin, which causes me to do the very things that I don't want to do, to do the sin that I don't want to do. And this is why the abundant Christian life is not ours, because we get overwhelmed. We get overpowered by the law of sin, which is in our members. Look what Paul goes on to say. Romans 7, if you would. Verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This body that overwhelms me, and the sin that lives in it that overwhelms me, who's going to deliver me from that? Look at the last verse of the chapter. "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's where the deliverance comes from. And if you will, look on just a little later in chapter 8, verse 11 of the book of Romans. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." Now stop. Last week, we talked about this. Can you be a believer and not have the Holy Spirit living in you? Absolutely not. If you're a believer, the minute you believe, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. So, this is you and me. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, abundant life, to your mortal bodies by his spirit who dwells in you." How do we get abundant life? What did the verse say? Look at it again. It says, by his spirit. And you know, Paul says, I want to try to do right. I want to eat right. I want to live right. I want to think right. I want to talk right. I want to look at people of the other sex right. But I get overwhelmed. God says, wait a minute. I got a solution to that. I will give you the abundant Christian life, but I'll do it by my spirit, not by your human effort. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean is this. Folks, the Christian life is a supernatural life. It cannot be lived by the energy of the flesh. You say, what does that mean? I mean, most of us start out every day as believers getting up and as we get ready to leave the house or have our devotions, we trust the power of our flesh to live the Christian life, that we're going to gut it out, that we're just going to, by human grit and ingenuity, we're gonna obey God. And we say things like, "I will not lust today. I will not say bad things about people today. I will not gossip today. I will not judge other people harshly today." Folks, and then we go out and we do it. Why? Because you can't live a supernatural life in the energy of the flesh. The Christian life is a supernatural life. You say, what's that mean? Folks, for us never to say anything negative about anybody or gossip about anybody all day, that's supernatural. That's not natural. For us never to be jealous of anybody and what they have or what they've achieved all day, well, that's supernatural. You're not going to do that in the flesh. For us, Matthew chapter 5, to love our enemies, that's supernatural. For us, as followers of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5, to give thanks to God in everything, good or bad and the ugly, well, that's supernatural. For us to see, as men, to see a really gorgeous, scantily dressed woman coming over to us or walking by us or at work or wherever and not to look at her twice, come on, man, what is that? That's supernatural. And for you ladies as well, to do the same regarding men. And we could go on and on and on for us not to gossip, for us not to say bad things about other people, for us not to get jealous of them, for us not to judge them harshly. That's supernatural. And we can't live a supernatural life through the energy of the flesh. That is what the Bible's telling us. We can only live it by the energy of the supernatural Holy Spirit who lives within us. He can live the Christian life, the supernatural Christian life, because he is supernatural and has supernatural power. We, in our flesh, cannot live it. And so that's why I said it's only when the Holy Spirit is living the Christian life in us and through us that we can go out and have a consistent, not a perfect, life of obedience to God, because we're too sinful to be able to have the Holy Spirit filling us every moment of every day. Only the Lord Jesus could do that, which is why he lived a sinless life, being the second person in the Godhead. But we can have a consistent Christian life and have victory more than we have defeat. And that's why Romans 8:11 says what it does. Let's go back. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, which he does if you're a believer, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give abundant life to you, to your mortal bodies, by his Spirit, through his Spirit, not through our human effort, not through our human determination, not through our human anything, but through his Spirit. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passages, but we want to ask our most important question now. What is it? You know what it is. Come on, say it. So what? That's right. And as my good friend Jackie Gleason would say, let me get his picture up here. Here we go. Here he is. How sweet it is to be teaching the Word of God today. So now let me give you the not a sermon, just a thought of this whole thing today. When you walk away today, what do I want you to walk away with? I want you to walk away with this simple truth that the Holy Spirit has to live the Christian life through me. Now, how do we do that? Well, remember that a preacher is no good if he doesn't tell you so what, which I just did, and how. So how do we do that? All right. I'm going to give you an answer for that. And it's really very simple. Let's take an electric fan. All right. There are two ways to get breeze out of an electric fan. The first way is to stick your finger in there and grab the fan blades and spin them by your human effort. And if you do that, I mean, you know, you'll get a tiny bit of breeze out of there, but that certainly is not going to give you a consistent, abundant breeze. The other way to do it is what? You plug it into the electrical socket, and then the fan blades turn, not because you're doing anything. All you did is plug in to the power source. They're spinning because the power of the electricity is flowing through that fan and is producing an abundant breeze for you. We understand that, right? Now, the abundant Christian life works the same way. We can try to do it in the energy of the flesh, spinning it with our finger, and we will not get much success. But if we plug into the Holy Spirit and stop trying to do it ourselves and just let the Holy Spirit flow through us like the electricity flows through a fan, he will live the Christian life through us. And how do we do that? Well, We have to be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit in our life, when He is at maximum in our life, then He lives the Christian life through us. It's effortless, literally. The power that comes to resist sin in our life is virtually effortless. It's amazing. But how do we get the Holy Spirit to fill us? Folks, I want you to understand this. This is so important. We do not have to beg the Holy Spirit to want to fill us. We do not have to plead with the Holy Spirit to have to fill us. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you and me as believers more than we want Him to fill us. This is the natural state of a believer, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the plan from the beginning. God wants to do this. All we have to do is stop hindering Him from filling us. And how do we hinder Him from filling us each and every day to the max? Very simple. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice." And before this, he's talked about corrupt communication coming out of our mouth, and let him who steal no more. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit, because He's the Holy Spirit. And when we sin, we grieve Him. And not only do we grieve Him, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, do not quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and we quench the Holy Spirit. It's like pouring cold water on His fire in our souls. And how do we rekindle that fire? Friends, 1 John 1, 9. Here's what it says. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's put it on the screen, 1 John 1, 9. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, God takes away the quenching and of the grieving of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bursts back into fire in our soul. That's how we do it. Now, for many of us, confessing our sin to God, if we do it at all, is a once a day affair. Maybe at the end of the day when we come home, or maybe in the morning when we have quiet time, or maybe it's a twice a day thing, in the morning and in the evening. But the Bible never says this. The Bible wants us to be confessing our sin all day long, every moment of every day. Repentance is a moment by moment part of the Christian life. And if we confess our sin at 9 a.m., and then at 9:05, we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, God doesn't want us to wait until 9 o'clock in the evening to rekindle the Holy Spirit in our life. He wants us, if we do it at 9:05, to rekindle the Holy Spirit at 9:05 and a half. How? By catching ourselves and saying 50 times a day, 100 times a day in our spirit, "Oh Lord, I confess that to you. That was wrong. That was sin. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry." And what does God do? He says if we confess our sins, He'll forgive them. And the Spirit of God will spring back to fullness in our life. You with me? And that's how we go through life all day. Quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, reigniting the Spirit by confession. Quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, reigniting the Spirit by confession. Moment by moment, all day long. Today, for example, I was thinking about something. You don't even know what it was, but I was thinking about it, and immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, "Lon, that is arrogant, what you're thinking, and that is offensive to God, what you're thinking, and that's turning the spotlight on, wanting to turn it on you and your glory instead of God's. And I immediately said, you know what, Lord, you're absolutely right. That is so wrong what I was just thinking. Lord Jesus, I confess that to you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. That whole thing took maybe 15 or 20 seconds from conviction to confession to reignition. Conviction, confession, reignition of the Holy Spirit. Now, do I always do that? Of course not. I'm human like you are. But that's how we do it. And that's the new habit pattern we have to learn. And you don't have to say it out loud. You say it inside in your spirit. Lord, I just looked at her the way I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. Lord, I just said something horrible about another person. Please forgive me. Lord, I just thought something horrible about another person. Please forgive me. Lord, I just was so jealous of that. Please forgive me. All day long, this keeps the Holy Spirit at his maximum in our life almost all day long. And as he's in control and he's at his max, this supernatural power simply flows through us. We don't even have to try. It's just there. Now, let me show you a verse of scripture that proves what I'm telling you is right. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look at this verse. I knew this verse for years and years before I ever understood its power. Look at this. Chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Now watch. And it is no longer I in my flesh who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life, the Christian life, that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, the Christian life that I now live, I don't live through the power of the flesh. I live it, look what he says now, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. And what is faith? Faith is believing what God tells us and trusting what God tells us. And what does God tell us? God tells us that I came that you might have life abundantly, and I came to give life to your mortal body through the Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives life, Jesus says. The flesh profiteth nothing. And this is how we live the Christian life. This is how Paul lived it. Now, this is something that doesn't get preached in our churches, sadly, and doesn't get taught to us as young believers. We're taught the wheel, Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, and that this gives us the abundant Christian life. It does not. Is there anything wrong with Bible study, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship? Absolutely not. God wants us to do all of that. But these are not the cause of a powerful spiritual life. These are the outflow of a powerful spiritual life. When you are filled with the Spirit and he is at max in your life, you will want to read the Bible. You will want to fellowship with other Christians. You will want to pray. And you will have a deep desire to share your faith. These are the overflow of a Spirit-filled life, not the cause of it. And for years and years and years, I tried to make these four things the cause of my Spirit-filled life. And it didn't work. And it took me years and years and years to get over being taught that and being back to doing it the right way. See, when I was a very young Christian, I mean, when I was months, just a few weeks and months old in the Lord, Bob Eckhart, who led me to Christ, didn't teach me the wheel. He taught me being filled by the Spirit. And I had so much spiritual power flowing through my life in those early days because the Spirit was living through me. The people I witnessed to, the people that came to Christ through my ministry, it was amazing, my love for the Bible, memorizing 600 verses of the Bible in the first 6 months I was saved. That was the Spirit. And then I listened to somebody tell me the wheel and tell me I had it all wrong. I needed the wheel to live a mature Christian life. And for 25 years, I lost that power until I came to my senses. Now listen, listen carefully. You may not be able to live a mature Christian life
when you're 3 months old in the Lord, but you can live a spiritual Christian life when you're 3 months old in the Lord. You understand? You may not be able to be mature as a Christian 3 months old in the Lord, but you can be spiritual from day one of coming to Christ, because being spiritual has nothing to do with Bible knowledge. It has nothing to do with prayer. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with witnessing or fellowship. It has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit in our souls and spirits. And that you can have, and that God wants you to have from day one. And don't let anybody tell you different. If they do, it's a lie of Satan himself to cause you not to live with the power and the impact that God wants you to. So let's summarize, and we're done. Here's what I want you to take away today. Here's how we live a Spirit-filled life. How do we live a powerful Christian life? The Holy Spirit lives it through us when he's burning in our and max in our life. How do we keep the Holy Spirit max in our life? We have four simple steps. You ready? Number one, confess our sins early in the morning when we start the day and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and empower us for obedience to God that day. Number two, plug into the Holy Spirit's power that morning, just like I said. Number three, confess our sins quickly and immediately as the day goes on. If you have to confess 50 times, if you have to confess 100 times, there's no limit. And then number four, keep plugging back into the Holy Spirit by confession all day long. Keep letting him reignite to fullness in your life all day long, because you're keeping the channel open and unplugged with sin. You're confessing it and getting it out of the pipeline so the Holy Spirit can flow in full. That's it. You say, that's too simple. No, it's not. Why would God want to make it hard? He wants it so simple that a child can understand and do this. No, if you think this is hard, like I did for 20 years, listen, I was educated beyond my intelligence. That's what happened to me. Don't be that. Take it simple and straight from the Word of God. Paul said, the life I now live, Galatians 2:20, I don't live it in the flesh, or by the power of the flesh, or by trying to gut it out in the morning all day. No, no. I live it by faith in what God promised me the Spirit would do in my life. I depend on that. I hope this revolutionizes your life. Try it tomorrow. I promise you, it'll be a different day for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit for so many things, but especially for living the supernatural Christian life through us. And Lord, I pray today that you would take the truth of your word and that it would revolutionize the Christian lives of so many listeners. Father, thank you for finally getting me back to living the Christian life correctly after several decades of being away from it. Lord, bring many of us either back or to it for the first time as a result of your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. All right. God bless you. And if you have friends who need this message, share it with them. Lord willing, see you next week.